Well, good afternoon. Who's on?
Hey, this is Tyler Merkel.
Hi, Tyler. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good.
Sorry, I got the mute button figured out there after a second.
No, I figured somebody's on mute. Somebody's on mute. So what do you know about Supernova?
Oh, well, I read the book. That was kind of a prerequisite to joining Trent and Kim. I'm kind of in growth mode. I think everybody is, but just starting out in the business about 3 years in, and just really trying to use that for the clients I have as I continue to bring them on. And they seem to be appreciative of it. I haven't worked with anyone long enough that really comes to me and says that they're appreciative of it, but I'm just kind of guessing by a few of the referrals I've gotten and things like that, people are willing to shoot things over, especially during this volatility.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. How many clients do you have now?
12 households.
Okay. And how much do you have in assets?
$6 million.
Mm-hmm. What's your primary way of prospecting?
Yeah, so I pick up the phone, just cold call. I'm not from Indianapolis originally, so not much of a network here.
Yep.
So as I've started to build that out, and that's been really good lately. Starting to see a lot more progress with that, but at first it was just picking up the phone, finding people with a need.
Okay, good. Have you seen the videos yet? Have you found them?
I have not.
Okay, so there's a video for each of these calls, okay? So, we're now on week 5, so you need to go back and watch all the previous videos, okay?
Okay.
And what we're doing is, hi Kim, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm talking to Tyler here.
Great.
So what we do is each week in the training program here, we introduce a new, I'm getting distracted. We introduce a new topic, an acquisition, okay?
Okay.
So each one was, we first set our minimums for our prospects, and then we start right in identifying our target audience, who do we want as clients, and then we start to identify them. The first is centers of influence, and the definition of a center of influence is somebody that you like, that they like you, they trust you, and they're willing to refer to you. So it's not just a person of influence. That's a person of influence. A center of influence, by its very name, says, I'm a center of influence, and I'm willing to refer to you. Right? So that, they're very rare, but they exist. And so what you need to do is develop 6 of those. We have a model that we build, and it's designed to generate a regular flow of introductions. So it begins with the 6 centers of influence, and then we go to niches, and then we develop a center of influence in each niche. And then, we call it the 90, which is, originally was 90 prospects, that's how many we want you to have. 90 prospects, 6 centers of influence, four people in a mastermind group, two niches, then two boards of directors, which we talked about on this call last week. And then we want you to have one, particularly LinkedIn, social networking, technology, you know, it's kind of the modern cold calling system. So all of those will work for you particularly. They'll work better for the other guys because they already have the people and the skills and all that. But over time, they'll work really well for you because you'll use them. You know, one of the challenges that I have is helping people to find the time to use these tools because they're great. But when you're starting out like you, you got nothing but time. So you'll use them all. And what we'll try and do is give you the skills so that you will use them effectively. Okay. And the nice thing about a team like Trent and Kim is they already got the skills. Mm-hmm. So you can plug into their skill set and leverage them. And I'm not saying you don't have the skills. After 3 years, you've got a lot of skills. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little time in the game to get the skills where, you know, think about it being any kind of professional athlete, it takes years and years of work to get to the place where you can be a pro. So some of the stuff that they know, they don't even know they know. They just do it.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's called unconsciously competent. And so what I do is help them to become conscious of their confidence so that they can repeat it. Because if I ask them, what do you do to develop your social networks, they'll say, I'm not sure. But they won't have consciously built a set of rituals around the process. But I can't tell people to just feel it, you know. I got to give them a process. I got to give them a set of rituals that they adhere to. So what I do is I study people like Trent and Kim and see what they did to develop the niche or the network, and then I drag it out of them, you know, step by step, and I kind of put it down on paper, and then I teach it. What I find is that the process is very similar, no matter who is doing it. But nobody is really consciously aware of what they're doing. So that's kind of what I do for a living now. That's pretty much explain it, Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the process part is what's, key, you know, because once you create the process, then you can, you know, always are enhancing that process, but that's the starting point. If you get a process in place, then you can replicate it, do it over and over, and then you continue to, you know, to redefine it to where it's, you know, it's second nature to you, I guess.
Yeah, and just to fill you in, kind of, Rob, I'm sure Trent and Kim have kind of filled you in. I just joined them. Kim, what is it, 5 months ago, maybe?
Four months ago, uh-huh.
And so had been with a different team for a couple of years with limited success, I guess. It was going well, but just limited success. Kind of kept reinventing the wheel over and over, and just wasn't comfortable with it. And I guess it was just a good fit for all parties. And I've already kind of developed a bit of that process and adopted things I didn't necessarily know we could do just in 4 or 5 months. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing that success spawn off of that, I guess, as we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time and can kind of work through that process.
That's right. Who are you with, if you don't mind me asking, just so I know, contact-wise?
Who am I with?
Before.
Yeah, Michael Fish and Robert Shaley.
Yep, I know Michael. I used to manage the office, you know.
Gotcha.
Did you know that?
Well, I knew you were with Merrill.
Yeah, he actually was even a district manager for a while too. So he, yeah.
I knew a bit of that background, but.
Yeah, I used to manage you guys.
Yeah, and Rob, we gave you your first book you wrote on Supernova, so he's read that.
Good.
I got it in my bag right here.
Good. Well, we got another one coming out. I'm working with. Blaine said that Jennifer really wanted to do some editing. And I said, well, my book is in just the right position. So we were on last night talking, and she's editing like a mad woman. And she's really smart and really good at it. So that'll be fun. So so we're in pretty good shape.
And then, Rob, he's met Blaine because he went out. We had him go out there. Yes.
Yeah, well, Blaine is featured, as is Trent and Kim, in this new book, so it'll be fun to... Trent was good enough to write down an experience that he and Kim had had working with their community involvement, which is a really important part of the business that we don't typically teach. And now I do, so it's wonderful to see success, because the truth is that when done properly, it's amazingly successful, but most people do not have the patience for it, nor the proper attitude. Mm-hmm. So it takes a great attitude, a giving kind of mentality, and a patient mentality, but the payoffs are such that with some people, it's the only way you can get near them. And yet, they're just amazingly available when you're on a board with them. And they're very nice and generous with their time and money, and will talk to you, and otherwise you couldn't get near them. it's one of the, for the ultra high net worth clients, it should be their primary way of prospecting. So anyway. So Kim is turned around, or is he?
No, he had a client that came in that he wasn't expecting. So as soon as he's done with that, he'll be on. But right now he's not on.
Okay. So how was your week, and what's on your mind?
Our week went well. We started working on our list of accountants and attorneys and that type of thing. So we've got that. We had a list, but it needed to be cleaned up. So we're working on that process now and got pretty much through it. So we just need to get it updated. So that we talked about that a lot. And then, telling stories, which, you gave us a couple good ideas on that. So we need to redefine those. So that's another thing we're working on right now.
Good. Anything exciting go on in terms of the business? Other than the market?
Yeah. No, I think that was really, to be honest, it was more the calls of, what's going on in the market. So we were pretty busy on that last week. And nobody really panicking, pulling out or anything like that, Rob, but just, any insight we could give, we were trying to keep clients updated in regards to that. And then Tyler had a couple meetings last week that I think went pretty well.
Yeah, so I've had some success and progress really lately. Really trying to start looping Trent and Kim into meetings as I kind of come across opportunities. I think it's like you said, the unconscious confidence just kind of presents itself and builds success. So, I'm going through my calendar. Yeah, me and Kim had a good meeting on Friday that I don't know. I think it looks like it's going to be a win, and that'd be a seven-figure account, and so that'd be a good game there. And I don't know. Just and that, again, it's kind of like you said, that wasn't from a cold call. That was from a friend, I guess, that I would consider a center of influence that knows it just about everybody in the community and saw that they were having an issue, I guess, and said, hey, you need to talk to them. And so I couldn't agree with you more. I need to identify more of them, I guess, or find them one way or another.
Yeah, well, it's fun. Everybody does it wrong, typically. Is that Trent?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Having a nice talk about centers of influence and developing new business. Tyler's on, Tim's on. So typically we always see the same things when, you know, we want to grow. It's like going to the gym, you know, in January, you get all excited. You want to work out, and by February, you've got another set of excuses and you stop doing it. We do the same thing with centers of influence and these other prospecting processes that take time and consistency, and most people give up and don't take the time and then say, working with centers of influence doesn't work. Well, the truth is that, you know, all the people that I've seen be amazingly successful in the business have done it using one of these tools. And centers of influence is probably the easiest one to develop. Therefore, more people do it, but they don't do it consistently. So the advantage that you have with a team is you can be an important person to a center of influence, Tyler. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge advantage. When you refer somebody to your center of influence, it's not you as a new person getting in the business referring somebody. It's you as a part of a very significant team who has the ability to refer millions of dollars to somebody if, in fact, they are worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you want to take advantage of when describing who you are and what you do. We talked last week about identifying niches and identifying centers of influence. So that's what Kim was talking about. So you guys got together, Trent and Kim, and you identified centers of influence that you've been working with and cleaned it up. So how many do you have and who are they?
Kim's got the list. The list, I believe we developed a couple of years ago. We've been adding to it, but it has been somewhat stale. So we purged a lot of names off the list that really aren't centers of influence.
Yep.
The two most significant are an accountant that we just referred a family to. We're going to have lunch with in the next few weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then an estate attorney that we recommend typically. We, I think, technically need to recommend three. So those are the two that we added, and then quite a few social and civic contacts, like Yvon Shaheen is one.
Yeah.
Working with her on boards, and we developed a good working relationship. She attended our Yuletide with our clients. Can
you see a client?
I gave it to Lindsay to clean up, so I can go get it tonight, yeah.
Great, so we don't have it in front of us. She is not a client as of yet. I mentioned
yeah.
she works with Morgan Stanley, and she mentioned her advisor. She's been with him about 25 years.
Yeah.
So I have not broached it since then. I figured it out once, and she said, oh, yeah, I've been working with this guy for 25 years. But that was when we weren't working together to the extent that we are now on the symphony board. So we've become a lot closer since then. But I was kind of surprised, but it was interesting to hear what you mentioned last week about your center of influence. I don't want to jump around too much, but the basic process where you start treating them like a client and you have a finite amount. You don't have 50 of them, but you have 6. And you start meeting with them monthly, and you focus on helping them. and not asking them for things, but you just ask, how can I help you? How can I help you build your practice? And then you wait on them to ask you about your business. Is that
right? That's it.
Properly say it, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, is it a direct? I mean, you can be a little more direct if it's, you know, clearly a business relationship.
Yeah, and if the door opens.
Right. I mean, people always ask me, how do you get started in your conversation? I said, people want to talk about themselves. I mean, Jim will tell you that, right? Marcia can tell you that.
Yeah.
Just ask the guy about himself, and he'll talk all night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all the same. You know, I've got a new friend here on the island who's, he's on like 4 boards now. He was on 7 before. He was the CEO of Container Corporation of America and all that, but he's so excited to be able to bike with us. He thinks he was a little kid, right? He can't wait to get out and bike with us in the morning. But all I have to do is get him started. Okay? I just ask him one question, and that's an hour of biking.
Wow.
But he's a great guy. He's just one of those guys that loves to talk and likes to, you know, loves to tell his story. Which is great, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting to hear.
Yeah, and he's an interesting guy.
You're dealing with smart, successful people. It's a good story.
Well, so that's our, you know, and then, of course, he thinks we're wonderful because we all listen to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's typical. See, people always wonder, what am I going to talk about? What do I say? What do I do? I said, just ask them questions about themselves and their practice and their family. Ask them about the family, their business. And then they'll ask you about your business and your family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not idiots, you know. Some people are, but most aren't, right?
Yeah, and I think family's the easiest conversation because everyone wants to talk about their family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But psycho businessmen love to talk about their business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's difficult. Okay, so what's the difference? See, what we have to do is what we try and do is make you as different as possible. Okay, so, and different makes it, frankly, to be different, you have to give a special experience, and you have to do it consistently, which means it's hard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it pays off because then your clients can tell a different story about you. So what you're trying to do is become referable. And if you do a fabulous job for them, they've got plenty to talk about and brag about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the game. And everybody on the team has to be engaged in that process. Because if they don't, then you're doing a good job, but your assistant doesn't get it, right? And is doing the minimum. In the case of Trent and Kim, their staff is fabulous, completely gets it, and does everything and more for the client. I happen to be a client, so I can brag about them. So when I'm, you know, so I have a good story to tell as a center of influence. So you, in teaching a center of influence like me or a CPA or attorney, we talked about how do you do that? How do you convince them that you're very different? You do it by telling stories. You know, somebody says, what do you do? And you say, well, you know what I do. Is this a good... Do you have a minute? I'll tell you a quick story. And then you tell them a story. And they say, wow, that sounds like fun. And you say, yeah, it's great. I love every day. You know, I helped this woman. I did this. I solved this problem. This person was so worried about retirement. They were nervous. They were keeping them up at night. No, we just simply took them to show them how to run a retirement builder or whatever you call it now, and they're comfortable and satisfied. We call them every month, make sure they're not nervous, and they love it. And that's the difference between us and others. So you're always trying to demonstrate that you're different. So one of the ways to do that is when you get a center of influence, you schedule a monthly meeting with them. And people say to me, what's the purpose of the monthly meeting? The purpose of the monthly meeting is to help that client, help that center of influence. The number one way you can help them is to bring an introduction to them, right? New client. Next is to solve a problem for them. Okay, make their life better. And you know, if you can't come up with anything more creative than taking them to Supernova Advisor and say, hey, read this. I think you might enjoy it. You have a practice in the service industry. This applies to our industry, but it will apply to your industry too, and then we can discuss it and talk about how we've raised our productivity. Maybe that applies to you too.
Yeah.
So there's lots and lots of different things you can do for clients, but when you're stuck, just come back and ask me and I'll tell you.
So Rob, if you're in my shoes and you don't have a big network around Indianapolis, how would you go about identifying potential good COIs identifying?
It's a really good question. The best thing to do is to ask your clients. Okay, so we ask, and you can ask everybody in the community this question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? It's a brilliant question. It came from Jody Frost down in Dallas, Texas. And she taught it to me maybe 20, 30 years ago. And 20 years ago, maybe. And she said, I asked all my clients that. And you're going to get one of three answers, positive, negative, or neutral. And the neutrals don't do you much good. He's okay. He's fair. When you say he's really great, that's a hint. Okay, this guy may be a good center of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say he's terrible, that means an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open? Attorney too, right, Rob?
Right. You just did it, Tim. You know, with me, I was.
Yeah.
You know. Would you be open to meeting with someone that is enthusiastically endorsed? And so, you know, I used to teach, Tyler, I used to say, well, ask your clients that, but you only have, you know, a limited number of clients. So the answer for you is, and for Tim and Trent, is ask everybody that question.
Hmm.
Right? They don't need to be a client to answer those questions, right? So what we build is what we call, so while you're making lists, all of you guys, we call it our enthusiastically endorsed list of professional providers. You guys can really do these. You can really do this. So you make this long list. And don't be afraid to add things like cardiologists, oncologists. People like David Broussard are super guys at telling you who the good docs in town. Who aren't. You should have a list of every contingency. Somebody has a child that is going through drug addiction. It's rampant, right? Horrible disease. Do you have the name of the guy to go for an intervention? Okay. So you have these fabulous providers that everybody has a little short list of them. You're going to have the long list of all the best. And just like the list of centers of influence, you need to refresh it. Keep refreshing it. Because they retire and, you know, different things. So clearly when they're great, when somebody enthusiastically endorses them, they go on the list, and when you get five or six people endorsing them, then that clearly is an invitation to go meet with the person and begin the relationship. You don't even need 5 or 6. If you get 2 people endorsing them, that's plenty. It doesn't mean they're going to work. It's not going to, it may not work for you, but you've got a good candidate. And that's what you're really looking for, a good candidate. And then here's the other part that we developed, guys. I don't think you know this. But when the other side is, well, you know, Mr. Knapp, this is great. I'm giving all these referrals out, but I'm not getting any back. Then what you do is you have to teach your center of influence to ask the same questions. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? So they'll ask all their clients that question. When the opportunity arises, when they're negative about their advisor, then they refer to you. Clever, huh?
I like it.
Yeah, it's really a smart thing to do.
Definitely.
You just have to remind yourself. So put that on your list, on your agenda. You know, you can do it in code, or you can just put enthusiastically endorsed service. You really need to have a list. You and Tim should have a list of all the people that are important in my life. Okay? Sounds kind of crazy, but you really do. You need that. You want to be the first call, not the last call. You want to be the first call when something happens and the family needs help. Okay, so when I say, you know, my cardiologist or my oncologist is such and such, you know who it is. And you even have their phone number. Especially in a small town like Indianapolis. You can know everybody. And that's important. Confidentiality is really important. But knowing who their cardiologist is, knowing what's going on with them health-wise, it's really important for you guys. He talked about that. So, you know, I think it's on page 60 that we have the enthusiastically endorsed list. Page 66 in my book. It may be a different one in your book.
Okay.
But there's a long list of them. You guys could have an insurance person, too, for Medicare, supplemental Medicare provider. Somebody that's the go-to person in your community for understanding what's the best deal for each client. Everybody, no matter how wealthy they are, have to go there. It's kind of like death. they all end up at the same place, no matter how rich they are. So having that person means that the wealthiest people in your community typically go through that person. It's not a typical insurance salesman. No, it's a person that specializes in that. Very interesting. There's one person off island in this little insurance company that takes care of everybody on this island. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
Yeah.
It's a good target market.
Exactly.
Good move on their part.
Very, very smart. It's all word of mouth. You know, Edry did the homework, found out what the best thing was. By the way, the best thing for people typically is to go through AARP and use United Health. That's the least expensive way to go through the process. after having, you know, numbers of people check it out. And so if you can find something different from that, let me know, but I think that's correct.
And this contact is an actual insurance broker, or are they a third-party advisor?
As an agency, Access places the insurance.
Okay. They're an agent. Okay.
Yeah, they own it. It's their own little place. They've got a couple girls. It's a woman. She's got, like, three women working there, and it's in a tiny little, it's in a house, you know, next to a river, off-island somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Selling drugs or something, you know.
Some little nook off the...
Right. So the, can't find it, you know. Driving the dirt road down the Sierra, and there she is. At work.
You see overhead, love.
Right. No overhead, no. She lives in a nice location. It's a quite old house, but it's a nice location. It's just cute. It's a riot.
So what are the centers of influence? The CPA and the attorney are the obvious ones, and then you say a Medicare insurance specialist. What
else? Yeah, conscientious physicians can be. Now, I wouldn't make that my primary, but I think they know everybody that has excess money. So they wouldn't have a concierge physician if they didn't. A concierge travel agent. That puts together high-end trips. A brilliant thing to do if you've got time on your hands and you'd like to, you know, meet the right people in a relaxed environment, not a bad idea.
Take a safari.
I don't think I ever went on one trip where I didn't come back with a referral for somebody. So cruise, you know, we did a cruise to, you know, we did beautiful cruises and things, and we did beautiful trips, but you don't have to make them quite as exotic as ours. But the more exotic, the more interesting for me. So, you know, we did Singapore to Dubai through, you know, stuff just like four ports in India. And that was wonderful. And then, you know, we did a land-based trip through Asia. Bangkok, you know, Cambodia, Vietnam, and then Hong Kong.
And what I learned is that Bar Manza, who put those together, or what, I can't recall her name, there's someone who locally put together the trip.
Yeah. Why am I, it's close to that, let me take a second. Anyway, I'll think of it. But she's older, but she's brilliant. Her sister's very rich out in California. I tried to get her a couple of times, but I never got her. But she's wonderful at it. Marcia's the one to give you guys the introduction. She's brilliant at it. Gloria Monza.
Okay, Gloria is the one I know that you told me about.
Gloria.
Gloria Monza, right.
Yeah.
Have you talked to her or met with her? Or?
No, you just told me about her.
Yeah. She knows everybody in this town, in Indianapolis.
That could be a great way for Brian and Kim Fogg to celebrate Samantha graduating from college. Take a safari.
Exactly.
Seriously, she's got one going on all the time, and they'd love to have young people. It's wonderful.
Does she does she work for? Is there her own company, or is there a name in the company?
Yeah, if you look her up, she's got some name for it, but just Google her.
Okay, M-O-N-Z-I, or how do you spell her last name?
I think that's right.
Okay.
I should have
a question, too. Get your down.
Yeah. Let me see.
Yeah, concierge travel agent, that's a great one, and the concierge doctor. And we've actually connected with the company, the president of Senior Home Companions, and refer a few clients. Not many clients have taken it up, but I think they appreciate having the resource of knowing there's someone that can help. We have some full-time caregiver spouses now, so the senior home companions can come in and help them.
Yeah, that's such a big help. It's another one of those terrible, times in people's lives when they're trying to finding a place for mom, right? Custom Travel World, Glory Monzi, M-O-N-Z-I, and where am I, the phone number.
Oh, we'll find it. We should find it from there. M-O-N-Z-I.
I think it's M-O-N-Z-I, or I've got it spelled three different ways, which is weird. Yes, it's gloria@customtravel.com.
All right.
Now I've got gloria@customtravelworld.com. So I got a bunch of different ones for her. So Marsh is the one that, she communicates with her all the time.
Yeah, she would be a good one to add to someone like that to her centers of influence.
Yeah, she's always interested. You could be a big help to your clients. We've never referred her to anybody that wasn't delighted. And we get a lot of it. That's where I met David Bessard, guys.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
you remember Meridian Hills? Or is that how he's on Meridian Hills, but meeting him?
No. We were both members of Meridian Hills. I never played, because I was always working.
Yeah.
And we went to a cocktail party in preparation for a trip to African safari.
Huh.
And met Gloria, and then met the Bessards and started talking to them and said, you'd like to go, let's go to dinner. And they said, would you like to come to Meridian Hills? And we go, sure, we're members. And they go, you're not members. And he said, yeah, we are. And so we were both members and didn't know each other. And this is pretty strange.
You had to book a trip to the other side of the world, be someone that you're in the same club with.
Right. And so we became, great friends on that trip and made several other trips after that. So it worked out famously. It's a great idea. It's a great prospecting. You think, well, how hard can prospecting be, Well, if you do it that way, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, definitely. So any other niches you can think of as far as COIs, the travel?
Yeah, I think you should have a check around with business brokers. There's good ones and bad ones. But a business broker is a really important person to you guys, and they only sell one business a year. But that's funny, Sell it for $15 million, you get the $15 million, and everybody's happy.
Another one we thought of actually sounds kind of macabre, but I guess there's a certification for divorce advisors now.
Sure, yes, that's true. Yeah. It's not macabre at all. It's family law, and getting the right family lawyer is really important. Commercial realtors know who's moving into town, who's leaving town, what buildings are available, who's growing their company, who's shrinking. They're a great source, and they're salesmen, so they would love, they would like to meet with you monthly. And they know, they can be such a source of information, you can't duplicate it. The same with residential realtors. You should have a very good, top-of-the-line residential realtor. That's a center of influence for you. Somebody moving to town, you refer to them, they refer to you. It's very easy. And the question really is so interesting is how many people take advantage of that? These are pretty obvious, right? They did. But they don't. Too busy.
Yeah, we have a list in our system of our attorneys and accountants. And so another thing that's helpful about going through this is it's reminding us of things that we need to bring back up to date and implement and utilize. And we can combine that and copy and just rebuild a page within our team planning document of centers of influence. And we can list the attorneys that we work that we have worked with notes about them, which ones are most enthusiastically endorsed, and start building out these other areas as well. Do you think that would help you, Tyler, in your prospecting efforts?
Oh, absolutely. I'm already thinking of the hard one for me, and I don't know if you guys have a good business broker. I had one that I know that I've shot a few people to that I just heard from numerous people he's one of the best in Indianapolis, but I know he's also a client of another team in the office. And so, it's one of those things of, I don't know anyone else, so, and he's really good at it. And so it's finding another one that might be more of a COI instead of just kind of a one-way referral.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have that other way because that's a huge payoff. So you guys do some brainstorming, we'll come up with, a million different ones.
Okay. But thanks for the list.
But as a giving person, you want to be there for crisis, right? You want to, when somebody says, I just had a heart attack, who's the best cardiologist in the community. It may not, and you need to know how the systems work, too. How you want to keep people in the system. So if they're in, if they're with, the university, Indiana University's medical network, you got to know the best people in that network. Because otherwise, it's a mess. Okay? So if they're St. Francis, that's a network. IU Medical is a network. So you need to have separate people for each function in each network.
So Rob, I'm guessing when you were an advisor, you had something like this set up. How many names would you say is like a full list for this?
Well, you can have a full list, but, I want you to meet with, say, six. It depends, Tyler. If you have more time, you can meet with more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I want these guys to have six, okay? So you have one. Here's what I would do. For your CPA, I would meet with them monthly. For behind that CPA, you got to refer three, right? So you got to have somebody on deck. I'd meet with them quarterly. And then the one in the bullpen, in the dugout, I would meet with them, twice a year. Okay, so you got to have three of them, and they get old, they retire, and things happen. So you just put them on a schedule, and you just do it. You build a folder for each one, just as if they're a client. So you create an agenda for every meeting, and then an executive summary of who's responsible for doing what at the end. Otherwise, you won't do anything. You'll just meet. And you don't want to do that. You want to have an agenda. You want to move it forward. You want to have roles and responsibility. Who's going to do what to make your relationship work? Then you can roll. Just think about, this works great, right, for you guys, your holiday party, right? Works terrifically for your clients.
Oh, yeah.
All you do is duplicate this for your centers of influence. So you invite, let's say, 20 couples. I don't know how many clients you invite to your holiday party. How many?
We had 157 people this year. Probably about 70 couples.
70 couples.
140 clients.
So you could probably, over time, develop a list of 50 centers of influence that, you know you, trust you, and are willing to refer. I'm not saying you're meeting with them monthly, but you've got relationships with them. And so you invite them to a holiday party. Think about who, wouldn't it be nice if they were all clients too? But how about them meeting each other, right?
Right.
At a party, you know?
Yeah, we're giving that kind of value to people and that kind of experience, it's going to come back.
Of course. Well, they're going to be, you create this trust, you know, the word is trust. The key element of this is the trusted, enthusiastically endorsed and trusted advisor. All right? So the key is that you trust each other and nothing. So what happened to Brother Rick, where they just were ignored him, would never happen because of the relationship that you have with this whole network. If you let one client down, you blow this whole network.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody in the network knows you can't let one of the clients that's a mutual client down. So think about that from protecting from your point of view. Right? So, you know, you refer to somebody like Brad Galbraith and he stops calling and stops connecting and starts giving crappy service, you guys would go berserk, right? You drop him from your network.
Right.
Right.
Right, which is kind of what you're doing. You're done. So it's very important that everybody understand what the other guy's minimums are, what they're looking for, what their specialty is. So we have a 5-step process for doing this, all right, for meeting new centers of influence and building a relationship. So one guy taught me something very interesting. I said, first meeting is you meet with them, you explain things, you give them a folder, you talk to them, make sure it's a good fit. If it's a fit, then you go on to your second meeting. The second meeting is you bring them back to your office, introduce your team and the 5-star model, how you're organized, and what you do, the level of service you give, and show them, you know, look under the tent and show them how it works, and the scheduler and the folders and all that. He said, no, that's step three. Step two is you go meet their people. Okay? I said, why? He said, I want to know every single person that's going to touch any one of my clients.
That's a good point.
Think about what that says, though. You tell that CPA, I want to meet with your team. I want to know everybody that's going to touch any one of our clients. That says, you better be on your game, buddy.
Yeah, I found the page you were referring to, page 60. So we'll copy that and work through that. This is really nice. It even has landscaper, personal banker, wedding planner.
Yeah, I mean, all the little
things. Home sitter, plumber. It's a good list.
Yeah, I mean, all those people are critical, right?
And then you've got the three columns, not endorsed, endorsed or enthusiastically endorsed.
So if you put that on the list, you know, you put that on the list every month, and every month you've got a different question, right? So you don't have to ask them about everybody, but you ask them about one, you know, talk about, you know, landscapers this week. Who do you use, right?
Yeah.
Those things are important. People, you know, we've had our landscaper for years and years and years, and I've enthusiastically endorsed it.
So how did you approach connecting with CPAs this time of year?
It doesn't matter what time of year. Everybody's interested in doing business.
Okay.
I mean, they'll tell you they're busy, but if you say, I've got an introduction for you, so they'll be good time for you. I mean, you literally could say that, you know. I have an introduction for a CPA. I'm interested in meeting with you and seeing if it would be a good fit for you. You can get them. You know, you can always get an introduction for somebody. Somebody needs a CPA.
It's hard to find a good one, that's for sure.
It's hard to find a good one. You know, I think since Tom Buck is out of the business, I mean, Mike Razor was, I thought he was really good. I don't know. Cindy likes him. Cindy Bowie likes him. So, you know, he has a network of business people in the community that help people sell their businesses. Very interesting. So do you guys know him?
No,
I do not.
Owen Henderson.
He's a great,
Michael.
Great guy, Mike Razor.
Huh.
Really nice guy. He gave Tom all his people.
Go ahead,
he was responsible. Yeah, for a great deal of Tom Buck's business.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. Think about it, right?
So who's your landscaper?
Oh, Woody. I don't know. I have to talk to Marcia. Remember I told you Marcia?
Oh, him. Marcia. Okay.
Yeah, Woody. Woody is our landscaper. He's great. I don't know his last name, but he's perfect.
Oh, that's hilarious. Woody.
Yep,
I plant trees.
Right. He will not work for the people across the street because they don't treat him well.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There's a problem, and that's consistent pretty much most of the people that work with us. It's very interesting. People get a reputation, so you have to guard against that. So... All right, so that was meeting number 3, is Evan M. come and visit with you. Meeting number 4 is you go back and teach him and you enthusiastically endorse model. Okay?
Okay.
And then you share your list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals, and you build it together, right? Those are great ideas, because he's going to know people that you don't know.
Right.
And there are going to be people in the south side and the north side and the west side and the east side and so forth. Different networks, different people. See, you can have multiple people, but you're really looking for the best of the best, but has a personality that you can work with, somebody you'd like and trust. So it's not just being really good. It's being good and being a good business person, being a good person, a giver. Remember, we talked about the book Give and Take. I told you to read that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Give and Take. Have you read it? Yeah.
No. I have not.
I downloaded it.
Read it. It's really important. Tyler, read it. It's the most important business book in 10 years for me.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really important. There are 3 different kinds of people. There's givers, takers, and matchers. Alright, so a giver is a person that just by their very nature is gives. Okay, so you guys are givers. You do it naturally, you like it, you enjoy it, gives you joy and all that stuff. You know takers, right? Takers can portray themselves as givers like Bernie Madoff, but in the end he's a taker. Okay, not a good guy. Some takers can be good guys, but they are takers. You just know they're takers. So they're never gonna It's never going to be something you're going to benefit from as a center of influence. And then there's matchers. I'll give you one if you give me one. I've given you 2. You owe me one. Okay? Those are matchers. Yeah, we don't want matchers. They can work, but you got to know what you're dealing with. So when you're looking for a center of influence, you're looking for a giver. Somebody that doesn't keep score. Somebody that gives because they like you, trust you, and want to help you. the centers of influence you have now are givers, okay, or you wouldn't have them. Your clients are probably pretty much all givers. There are no jerks in there, or you wouldn't keep them. Okay, so it's more complicated than you think to do this right, but when you get it right, you have it for the next 30 years.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like it's a new process. It's a new habit. It's like learning how to work out for the first time. If you get on the treadmill, try something, build up the tolerance and keep going. If her just stay with it, yeah, start small. Go through the pain.
Right.
No pain, no gain.
So we're kind of running out of time, but we talked about niches. So what I want you to do is, unless you did it the last time, I want you to put together a list of niches that you guys have now and that the name of the center of influence inside that niche. Okay, so we had tons of people making a living off of Lilly. And they had, an executive inside there that liked them and trusted them and referred business to them. You guys have those clients in different companies and different niches. Your social networking is social networking, but it's also niche networking, You
right.
created a niche out of social networking. So it kind of overlaps. It's similar. We separate it, but it's very similar in how it works.
It's a fast hour a week. This time flies by.
Yeah. So you want to, answer your question. I had 10 niches that I worked with when I was in Boston. That was probably too many. But I was brand new, so it was just right for me. And then I'd have a center of influence inside each niche. Okay, so it could be it could be 10 companies, it could be 10 industries, it could be a hospital as a niche. It can be all kinds of things. And so you guys, you think about it and come up with it. And the way to do it, if you're not familiar or you can't think, where did I get these? Do I have a niche? No, I have no niche. What I did, for example, recently when I got a new client is ask him to give me his top 20 clients, and we went right down the list. So where did they come from? How did he get them? And what's their affiliation? Well, almost all of them were Washington lobbyists. Okay, he never even thought about it. He never even knew he had that as a niche.
They have a lot of money, but you may not be able to trust them.
That's right. Right. They're salesmen. They are. They're salesmen. They're pretty good. Anyway, so that's your homework, okay?
Yeah, well, I love the way you said it last week. Basically, you want to fish in the deep water, just like you go out. How many miles, and that most people don't want it. They want to fish right off the coast. And that's what we're doing with the CIO list. It's a tough process, but you're fishing in the deep water where you can catch the big fish, where few other fishermen are out there. There's less competition.
Well, exactly. You're going to, you might as well, through your networking, go for the CEOs and the C-suite of your corporations that are in town. That's who meets your minimum. Most other people don't meet your minimum.
Yeah.
So that's who your prospects are. It's got to be unique. Some unique doctor or dentist that can make, that has that kind of money, that has 10 million. It's not everybody. So you, by your nature, restrict your networks. Which is fun, commercial realtors, some construction people would have that, there's a lot of people that have that kind of money.
Well, those are the big takeaways. Develop this CIO, develop our working list, refine it, and our process. And then the give and take book, we need to read that. Work on our list of niches that we already have, and then name those centers of influence that we have within the niches. And we spoke last time about targeted marketing of the boards we're on now, who could be a target for us as far as a center of influence or potential client.
That's great. If you do that, that's terrific.
That's what we'll work on for next call.
Okay. I'll write those down. Those are great. I didn't even have to ask what the big takeaways.
Well, it's exciting for us, as I mentioned in the beginning, because we're in somewhat of a reboot for the team. With Tyler coming on, we're freeing up the capacity. We've got less clients on the CAs now. We have an opportunity now to reposition the team for growth.
It's really good. It's really good. Okay. Just like introducing your supernova to your clients, introducing supernova to your centers of influence is something you just have to do. Okay? So just go ahead and make the first steps and begin the process. You'll be amazed at the results and the reception you get. The key is to do it consistently. You know, I have a team of justices. They're 12 weeks. This is the first month after the first 12 weeks, and they're doing their 1242, and they're getting lots of money from clients because they're talking to them. And I told them, I said, that's great, and you think Supernova's working, but if you don't add acquisition, just talking to your clients is not going to last. You get a 30% pop in your business, but it won't last. It won't be a double. You've got to do the acquisition piece to get that double. So that's the key here.
So fine.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks, Tyler. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.